Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by West End Orthopedic Clinic, TGI Fridays of Richmond, LeClaire Ryan Law Firm, Janney Montgomery Scott Brokerage, TheSaber.com, Virginia Athletics Foundation, The Westin Hotel, Kelleher Heating and Air, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, and CapTech Ventures. Who's Talking is on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, Wahoo fans. This is Jim Hobgood alongside my co-host Frank Maloney. Welcome to Who's Talking. We're committed to bringing UVA sports news, guests, and analysis to Wahoo fans near and far. Who's Talking is devoted to bringing UVA athletics to you every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. on Sports Radio 910.
This is Frank, and tonight we will review the recent heartbreaker versus Southern Mississippi. We also have some great guests lined up for tonight's show. Particularly, legendary quarterback Sean Moore will visit shortly. And the Sabres editor, Chris Wright, joins us at the bottom of the hour. We're glad that you're with us, and hope you'll have a lot of fun listening to our show tonight. Jim and I encourage you to send questions and comments via email to whostalking@sportsradio910.com, or you can call us at 345-0910. We're also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our shows are archived on the Saber as well. Lastly, we're also set up on Facebook, so if you search Who's Talking, you can become a fan and send your comments and questions and thoughts to us through that medium.
Yeah, some of those early shows on the Saber archive, we may need to get rid of some of those early ones. You know, destroy the evidence, as they say. All right, Frank, Saturday down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. That's what I call the Hobbo description, good game, bad outcome, meaning Virginia lost. What happened down there other than some special teams problems and other issues?
You know, the loss itself drops the team to 0-3, and I never would have thought in a million years we would be 0-3 at this point. So Saturday's game was particularly tough to swallow, I think, as both the offense and the defense got off to excellent starts. And, it, you know, they basically quieted the crowd down there in Hattiesburg, which is known for its noise level. And, you know, the defense forced fumbles and gave the offense good field position. The Hoos generated some nice drives, and they built what I would consider a tremendous halftime lead of 27-10.
Yeah, it was tremendous, but not tremendous enough, apparently.
Apparently. No lead was safe on Saturday. Jameel Sewell and the offense finally got in a rhythm, and they were mixing up some nice passes, some long, some short, and some good running amongst several backs. However, as we all know, in the third quarter, the special teams, you know, let the team down. There were two shocking kickoff returns, some poor punt coverages, and before you knew it, the Golden Eagles were back in the game. It had to be disheartening, I think, for the starters to watch the game sort of slip away like that. And, you know, we had a 17-point lead midway through the third quarter, and it looked like we could work our way towards a nice win. In the end, it looked like the Lions got tired. The Southern Mississippi pass rush chased our quarterback, Jameel Sewell, all over the place in the fourth quarter and got some big sacks. And then, of course, the dreaded Wildcat offense broke some big plays that ultimately gave the home team a big win. Highlights, I would say that Jameel Sewell played much better. He executed a balanced attack. He finally got the passing game going. Wide receivers Tim Smith, Chris Byrd, Jared Green, and Javaris Brown all were making some nice plays down the field. It was refreshing to see and hear that happen. And you could see the team just was, generally, the whole team seemed lifted by that. In addition, I thought Jameel was very patient with his decisions of when to run. He still needs to find the hot reads and dump the ball off quickly when the blitz comes. He gave up some dreadful sacks at the end, but all in all, I'd have to give Jameel a B+.
Well, he had 312 yards passing. You look at the stats, and just from the game perspective, I did not watch it on TV. I listened on the radio to Dave Kane, Frank Quayle, and Chris Slade with their description of what happened. But as you say, third quarter special teams, the kickoff of the second half that I guess Southern Miss fumbled but was able to recover and move into Virginia territories. They score with 11:17 to go in the third quarter, which makes it a 10-point game, and you think, well, Southern Miss, that's an important first possession score for them to get back in the game. But Virginia, on the ensuing drive, gets down, scores at 7:19 to go in the third quarter, and restores the 17-point lead. And all of a sudden, as a Virginia fan, you're feeling pretty good about this situation because they responded very well to the initial score by Southern Miss in the second half. And then I think the key moment of the game is the ensuing kickoff that Southern Miss runs 103 yards. So midway through the third quarter, they're back once more within 10 points.
No doubt. I think that second return in the second half by Parham, that was devastating. I think that sucked the wind right out of the team. And, you know, a team that's going through a tough spell like the Hoos have been, that had to, you know, doubt started creeping in at that point. Looking at some more of the positives, I thought the defense did a nice job generating some turnovers. They prevented, for the most part, until late in the game, some long drives. They did get some pressures on the quarterback, but they're still not getting any sacks. The secondary took away the top receiver for the Eagles, a fellow named DeAndre Brown. I thought the linebackers looked like they're flowing better to the ball. And generally, the defensive backs did a good job of containing folks, with the exception of there was a third and long, I want to say 35 yards, where somehow Mosley and one of the other defensive backs, maybe McLeod, they did not knock the ball down. They got called for a pass interference. And that was as big a play in the second half as those kickoffs, I thought.
Yeah, certainly. And that's when we get into basketball season, you'll hear Jim talk a lot about players on the floor being aware of the game situation. So from a defensive standpoint, in that circumstance, you certainly have to be aware it's third and long, and the last thing you want to do is commit a penalty that has an automatic first down with it. So, yeah, that was a big play in the game.
Well, it gave them a chance to extend a drive that they should have been punting from deep in their end of the field.
But statistically, I mean, you look at it, and I know the old line, stats are for losers, the winners are out at a party with the cheerleaders, but I mean, Virginia had 25 first downs, as I said, 312 yards passing. They had time of possession advantage. So after the first two games where the offense, kindly speaking, sputtered, it was at least encouraging to see the offense move the football.
Well, no doubt, and I think that gives all of us hope for the remainder of the season. I'm a little concerned about injuries and player attrition at this point. The Hoos are hoping to get key veterans Mikel Simpson, Chris Cook, B.J. Cabell, and Vic Hall back on the field soon. I hated to see my dark horse star Dominique Wallace go down with an injury with his with the foot injury, and apparently he's going to be redshirted for the year. But we have a lot to look forward to him. I think Dominique Wallace ultimately will be one of the big-time tailbacks for Virginia.
Yeah, one of our upcoming guests later in the show, Chris Wright, I think we're going to certainly be asking him about the running back situation, among other things.
No doubt. Looking ahead, we've got UNC in less than 10 days now. They're riding high at 3-0, and we've got to go down to Chapel Hill to play them. We've got Indiana at homecoming in a couple of weeks, and they are 3-0, although the schedule looks a little soft, and it gets tough for them this week, and they finally play Michigan. And we'll find out what Indiana's got. And then, of course, Maryland after that looks to be vulnerable, and their head coach is under fire. So it's possible the Hoos could just get something going here.
Well, Al Groh, in his defense, he's one of those coaches that generally, if you give him an extra week to prepare, the team will certainly be ready when they go to Chapel Hill, and maybe they can build off the Southern Miss game. Even though it was a disappointing loss, still the team performed better.
And I think we've got Sean ready to go. Before we bring Sean Moore on, who we're excited to have on the show tonight, I just want to give a little background on Sean. Sean was a quarterback at Virginia from 1987 to 1990. He was recognized as an All-American by five different organizations. He led the Hoos to two New Year's Day bowl games. And for three glorious weeks that I'll never forget, they lifted the Hoos to number one in the polls back in 1990. Along the way, he set school records for career total yardage of 7,887 yards. He led the Hoos in total offense in 1988, 89, and 90. He finished fourth in the Heisman Trophy voting in 1990. The Martinsville native had his number 12 retired, joining Wahoo greats Bullet Bill Dudley, Frank Quail, Palumbo, Edmonds, and Jim Dombrowski. He played 5 years of professional football in the early 90s. I think four of those were with the Denver Broncos, and then 1 year in the CFL. After his playing career professionally, he worked in the NCAA. He worked for the XFL. He had an associate athletic director's position at Howard University, and then he moved on to USA Football. Currently, he's the dean of students at St. Albans School. We're excited to welcome none other than Sean Moore tonight. Welcome, Sean.
Yeah, let's get him on. The introduction, he's got a long bio there. It's killing all your time, Sean. We need to ask you some questions.
I know, man. That bio was taking up way too much time, wasn't it? Good Lord.
Well, we're glad.
I'm excited to be on. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on tonight.
Very good. We're very glad to have you on. And I think the first thing we want to do is let's jump to the here and now and let's talk about, what is your overall assessment of this year's football team?
Well, I think like most people, I'm concerned that, we've gotten off to a slow start. You know, I said early in the summer that, the month of September was going to be a tough stretch for us. I even knew, because we've always had some tough battles against William & Mary. We knew that William & Mary was going to be a tough football game, but it's a game that you're supposed to win. And then the TCU, I knew it was going to be a tremendous test for us because they were going to be highly ranked. In the last 3 years, they've had one of the top defenses in the country. And then Southern Miss, it's a road game. So anytime you take young kids on the road, it's going to be a tough game. But I figured if we could come out of September 2-1, we'd be off to a good start and maybe looking at a chance to compete for the ACC title. Now, obviously, we hadn't gotten off to that good start. We're 0-3 and looking for a win. But I think, I like just listening to you guys. I think you're extremely accurate in that. You give Al Groh an extra 3 days, 4 or 5 days, whatever it is. We're off this week. We'll be ready to play at North Carolina next week, and I'm excited to see these young kids go out and hopefully battle to the end. And it's our first ACC game, so they're going to be excited. And as far as I can remember, North Carolina's always been a big rivalry game for us.
Hey, Sean, this is Jim Hopgood, and we do have Sean Moore with us, former All-American quarterback at Virginia. And, Sean, you're probably more capable of answering this than anybody else. But talk to us about the development of Jameel Sewell this year. Certainly encouragement down in southern Mississippi. Do you expect him to continue to get better as the year goes along?
I totally do. I've said before that, I've watched Sewell over the last really two years now because he was out of football last year. But, 2 years ago, I saw him struggle up in Wyoming. I was at that game. I was there on the field watching that football game. And I saw a young quarterback struggling and looking over his shoulder because, at the time, Peter Lalik was his backup and actually came in and got repetitions that day. But now I think, the question has been answered, And I think all the fans know that he gives us the best opportunity to go out and win football games. And I think the team has sort of gained that confidence in him. Last week was, I think he put on an excellent showing. Talking to my friend Chris Slade, who does radio, Chris said that he battled all the way to the end. I didn't get to see the game live, but Sewell battled to the end. And I love his comments this past week that, he'll do anything he wants to help the team win. And I'm pulling for him. I hope he does well in these next couple weeks.
Sean, we're going to go ahead and take a break right now, but if you'll stick with us over the break, we'll have you back in the next segment. And so, fans, just hang with us. We'll continue to speak with and question Sean Moore when we come back after these few moments.